Good day, I'm Jackie Judd with Health on the Hill. Congress is hoping to get out of town later this week for the Memorial Day recess. But before lawmakers head home, there is some unfinished business to deal with related to health care spending and more. Here to fill us in is Mary Agnes Carey, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Welcome as always.
Thank you.
There are three items I want to walk through first off. One is called the Doc Fix, two, a COBRA extension, and three, the Medicaid Lifeline. The doctor fix. Years ago, the government established a very complicated system by which to reimburse doctors who treat Medicare patients. And every year, Congress has to come back, or sometimes more frequently, to make sure that the doctors don't realize a serious cut in the payments. That's what Congress is facing now. What are the options before Congress, and what does it look like they will ultimately decide upon?
It looks like they're zeroing in on a doc fix, if you will, that would stop the payment cuts for a few years, but they would resume in 2014. We're talking about modest increases, maybe 1% in that ballpark, with doctors who do preventative care possibly getting a bit more. The American Medical Association is very unhappy about a fix that is not permanent. They have said for years, please, let's fix this problem. As we've talked about many times here, Congress continues to face, and doctors continue to face who take Medicare patients, these potential payment cuts. They're looking at a June 1st payment cut of 21%. So that's what Congress wants to stop.
And what's the likelihood that there will be a settlement that both Democrats and Republicans can agree upon?
I think if they can't agree to a multi-year fix at this point, they might go for a shorter fix. We've had these short-term extensions. The nearest one is expiring June the 1st. There's some conversation now as we head into the Memorial Day weekend that if they can't agree on a longer package, perhaps do a shorter-term fix. But Congress, Republicans and Democrats, tend to unite on this because nobody wants to cut Medicare payments for physicians, because that could mean that they don't take Medicare patients who are their constituents.
Okay, item number two, the COBRA extension. COBRA, of course, is the health insurance intended to carry people through a period of time when they're unemployed. During the high unemployment months of the previous year and a half or so, the government's offered a subsidy of 65%.
Right.
What would this extension do if passed?
They want to take that 65% subsidy through the end of the year. That was also going to expire on June the 1st. But as we know, a lot of people have lost their jobs. They've lost their health insurance. COBRA is quite expensive for people. They have to pay the full freight of their premium. So this would extend that subsidy through the end of the year.
Is there any opposition to this proposal?
Well, there's always concern, especially now, about the price. This whole package is close to $200 billion. Now, it also includes a lot of tax extenders and other provisions. But Democrats, especially moderate Democrats, are getting a little sensitive about the price factor. But then again, these are their constituents. They've lost their jobs. The economy is still struggling. And we've got an election coming up in November. So I think that they will try to get some sort of resolution on this to help people.
Okay. And item three, the Medicaid Lifeline. The federal government essentially increased the payments it makes to states, so the states need to pony up a little less. What would this do?
This would take those increased matching, federal matching for Medicaid through June of next year. States are now beginning to plan their budgets for next year. They've been looking to Congress, will you help us with this Medicaid money? And Congress is likely to respond because, again, as we've talked about, a weak economy, people have lost their jobs. They have turned more to Medicaid. The Medicaid enrollment is increasing, and states bear the brunt, as does the federal government. This is an increase in that federal match to help.
And yet there has to be an argument from the other side about the increasing federal deficit.
There exactly is, and that is going to pervade all these three items and many more in this package. How much do we want to spend? How much do we want to raise the deficit? What are the pros? What are the cons? It's going to be a continuous theme throughout the fall.
Okay. Don Berwick, nominated by President Obama to run Medicare and Medicaid. Some delays going on in Congress. What's your forecast on this?
The Senate Finance Committee is now reviewing all of his paperwork for the nomination. This is a very time-consuming process. And I think it's very clear that when the Finance Committee considers that nomination, Republicans will use this as to their vantage point to try to point out flaws in the health care bill, things they disagree with. It will be another chance for them to say things such as the health care bill is too expensive, you shouldn't require people to buy health care coverage. Again, this is the whole individual mandate issue. The bill doesn't do enough to reduce costs. They will look to things Dr. Berwick has said and written over past years. For example, they will look to previous speeches and say they indicate that he wants to ration health care. And the counterpoint will be, of course, that you've got to look at his context, that his remarks in a fuller context, and that there's already rationing of the current health care system. And why not put in an expert like Dr. Berwick, who wants to improve the quality of the health care system and perhaps lower its costs?
If this is delayed for a considerably long period of time, will that have ramifications on not only Medicare and Medicaid as it now stands, but the implementation process?
I think it only hurts the implementation process and will slow it. CMS has not had an administrator for a while. Dr. Berwick is very clearly aligned with the ideas in the health care bill that many Democrats and some Republicans support as well, improving quality in Medicare and Medicaid. And while you've got a lot of great folks, of course, at HHS and CMS working away on implementation, if you don't have an administrator, it does slow and complicate the process.
Okay. And the final item, last week, of course, we spent a lot of time talking about last Tuesday's elections. Given the results, what is your take on how important an issue the health care reform law was in any of these contests?
We talked about several contests, but I think if you look at Arkansas, that's where health care really played out. Blanche Lincoln, a sitting senator, is trying to get reelected again. There was a three-way primary, and no one got enough votes, and so there'll be another runoff. She's going to go up against Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter. But health care is squaring off there, very important as an issue. Blanche Lincoln kind of got it from both sides. Liberals said you weren't strong enough in your support of the president's health care package. You should have strongly come out in favor of a public option, which she did not. Conservatives were angry that she backed an earlier version of the bill, saying she shouldn't have done that. The health care bill appears very unpopular in Arkansas. And so I think that is a race to watch, to see how health care plays out for this primary, which will come up again on June the 8th, and the fall elections.
Okay. We covered a lot of territory.
We did.
Thank you so much, Mary Agnes Carey. Thank you for watching. This has been Health on the Hill, and I'm Jackie Judd.